Thanks, blessings, Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, July 9th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. The Jamuka activist says ZANU-PF supporters should join mass protests as they are also suffering in Zimbabwe.
We call upon you, Comrade Joe, and other members of ZANU-PF in Parliament there to boycott Mugabe, to make sure that on the 9th, you are part and parcel. If you are representing the people, then the people will march into the streets. So be part and parcel of that. Come into reality.
The African Union looks for a new AU Commission chairperson, and as usual, we'll focus on issues affecting women. A Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign activist Hepson Ncube has clashed with ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma over the recent mass protests that paralyzed Zimbabwe. Ncube says the ruling ZANU-PF party was shocked by the nationwide protests in which organizers were calling for the immediate resignation of President Robert Mugabe, the dumping of a law banning the importation of some basic commodities, and other issues. He says the government should brace for more protests and ZANU-PF activists should also join.
I think Comrade Chuma has admitted that Zimbabwe is facing a political problem, an economic problem, and the only way that this problem can be resolved is for us, together with Comrade Chuma and together with the fellow comrades in ZANU-PF, admitting that we need to take a transition, that we need to make sure that ZANU-PF steps aside, that we need to make sure that the people shall govern, the constitution of the land shall govern. And I'm very happy that even the way Comrade Chuma is speaking, he's even trembling. He does not even know what he's talking about. If he says people have been blocked to attend their businesses, actually the police incited violence upon the citizens of this country. And then at the very same time, then he says the situation was very calm in Bulawayo.
Mr. Chuma,
what I honestly think is that people should stop being emotional about this issue. It's an issue affecting the whole country. We are all citizens of the same country. We need to be sober about it. There are channels of doing things. President Mugabe was elected in 2013 and given a mandate to rule this country until 2018. Let it be so. If there's anybody who wants to challenge that, they must form their political party if they don't have one already and campaign. We want somebody who's going to lead this country democratically through voting, not through fighting. We fought already in the 70s and attained independence. Now it's about the ballot box. Don't be retrogressive and take us back to the bush. We don't want that. So what I can urge all Zimbabweans is that this is the time to pray for our nation. Even the Bible says it in 2 Chronicles that if you pray and seek my name, I shall come and heal your land. So the Lord is there to heal our land if we pray to him and seek solutions from him. Let's not seek solutions from the West or from anybody else.
But do you think that these people should actually engage the government?
It is proper to engage the government. Government is for the people. So definitely, when there's something wrong, people must engage the government through whatever structure. They are members of parliament all over. And our role is to represent the people at parliamentary level, to government and the executive. And we also play the oversight role to oversee the executive. So if there are problems, people must be having dialogues within those kind of parameters.
So, Mr. Ncube, is there any possibility that you can actually engage the government, literally?
Now we have called upon ourselves as young people across political divide. In fact, except ZANU-PF, we have MDCT, we have FIA, we have students, we have every organization across political divide, we have Zimbabwe Exile Forum. So we call upon you, Comrade Joe, and other members of ZANU-PF in parliament there to boycott Mugabe, to make sure that you are part and parcel. If you are representing the people, then the people will march into the streets. So be part and parcel of that. Come into reality and face the same situation. Stop dreaming. The issue about ZANU-PF is that ZANU-PF itself is actually fragmenting. Joseph Juru has left, Ugarukumbo has left, and everyone actually, even Mugabe himself does not trust Grace Mugabe, and Grace does not trust Mugabe. And actually, I
I would want to know, Honorable Joe, that are you a member of the G40 of the Ngwena faction, so that I address you properly.
No. Honorable Chuma, your take on what the young man say?
I was almost getting into a frenzy of laughter here, because my good brother here seems to be a tick point of some sort. But anyway, like I said, these people have a democratic right to demonstrate like what is dictated in the Constitution, as long as they do it within the parameters of the Constitution, of the law. But the better way is to engage in dialogue. And the government has always got an ear to listen. We as Parliament have got an ear to listen, and we will listen and forge a way forward.
That was ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma. You also heard from Hepson Ncube, a member of the Jamuga Sesijikile campaign. As heads of state meet amid the rolling hills of Kigali for the African Union Summit, which kicks off tomorrow, the biggest item on the agenda will be the selection of the next African Union Commission chairperson. VOA's Jill Craig reports.
Zuma will be stepping down after holding the position for the last 4 years. Alyssa Jobson is the advisor on African Union relations for the International Crisis Group.
I think it's important to stress that who leads the African Union Commission matters, and it matters immensely. The chairperson is responsible for shaping the continent's economic, political, and security agendas. And so it's really key that they have the best candidate possible in this job.
There are three candidates. Two are current foreign ministers, one from Botswana and the other from Equatorial Guinea. The third candidate is Uganda's former vice president and a former UN special envoy for HIV/AIDS in Africa. But J. Peter Pham, the director of the Washington-based Africa Center at the Atlantic Council, cautions that Dlamini Zuma's successor may not come out of this summit, since a two-thirds majority vote is required.
This time around, with three relatively unknown candidates, it might well be the case that two-thirds majority is not achieved, and there's additional campaigning, and the possibility that other candidates might throw their hats in the ring.
But the leadership turnover doesn't stop there. A new deputy chairperson and eight commissioners of the AU will also be selected, according to Monde Moyangwa, director of the Africa program at the Wilson Center.
So you have a huge leadership transition occurring at the African Union. And so this is really going to determine which way does the African Union go.
The 54-nation bloc will be issuing its first e-passports, which will go to AU heads of state, permanent representatives of these states, and ministers of foreign affairs as part of a pilot program. The goal of the new passport is to ease restrictions in the movements of people, goods, and services across national lines.
Which is a step, at least symbolically, in the direction of a closer union, a Pan-African identity. But the reality is that despite those aspirations and those ambitions, it's not the want of passports that causes Africans not to travel to each other's countries and to trade and do business with each other. It's the lack of transportation infrastructure that makes that. A passport won't do you any good if you don't have a road that will get you from one place to another, or you don't have customs officials and customs clearing houses to expedite the passage of goods.
Moyangwa expresses a bit more optimism.
I have been encouraged by the discussion on the benefits of this e-passport at the highest levels.
The AU summit opens July 10th and culminates with the heads of state meeting on the 17th and 18th. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. As usual, we now hand you over to Marvelous Mhlanganyawoye.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyawoye. Tonight, we are gladly joined by Isabel Monzora, one of the young women that is part of the pressure group Tajamuka. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Isabel.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about Tajamuka. What does your organization stand for, and what is your role? And what prompted you to join that grouping?
I have always been interested in politics, But Chadamuka, even though it is a non-political movement, especially for the youth, I feel that it was a good opportunity for me to liaise and interact and socialize with other women as well as men who were into demonstrations, because traditionally demonstrations were always reserved for men because they were the ones who were seen as being masculine. They were seen as the stronger sex, and they were the ones who were expected to be at demonstrations. But I see women as not the weaker sex. We are just equal as men. And what men can do, we can as well.
And also, right now you are based in the diaspora. So what is the role of women like yourselves who are based in the diaspora in this movement, Tajamuka?
The thing is, if you look at the political climate in Zimbabwe, it is not conducive for demonstrations, especially with issues of police brutality and all. But in the diaspora, like in South Africa, there is more democracy at play. So it is easier to picket, it is easier to demonstrate, and we try to even get in touch with other organizations. We can even go to SADC, we can go to AU, without fear of reprisals.
What is the outcome that you'd like to see in your participation in Tajamuka as women and young girls?
I would want women to be able to compete with men at the same level, but because we have always been seen as the weaker sex, I feel that as more and more women get into politics, it's a chance for us to encourage other women to get into politics as well.
We've seen some of your compatriots in Zimbabwe being arrested for doing the same thing that you are doing in South Africa. So are you not afraid that when you do return back to Zimbabwe, it's the same will befall of you?
There will always be casualties in any war, and we are prepared as women in Tajamuka to face the wrath of any government.
And do you feel that women are being given decision-making positions in organizations like Tajamuka and others?
We are not just being given, we are also demanding them, because we are not expecting to get things on a silver platter.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm 28 years old. I'm a student. I'm in my third year in law school at the University of South Africa.
What would you like to see happen in future as a young woman and girl yourself?
I want to see women getting what they deserve, because women are getting so much education right now. So I want them to get decision-making positions because they deserve them, because they have worked for them, because they should get it by merit. Not just because they are women. I want to see a female president one day.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Isabel Monzora, part of the Tajamuka Youth Movement, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much, Marvelous.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye in Washington.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Colombian government and leader of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, agreed to a bilateral ceasefire pact on June 23rd, paving the way for a final peace deal that would end the 52-year civil conflict. This war has taken the lives of an estimated 220,000 people and forced nearly 7 million Colombians from their homes. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry welcomed the news. I am pleased that after more than 4 years of intensive talks, the Colombian government and the FARC have achieved breakthroughs on some of the most challenging issues before them. Although hard work remains to be done, the finish line is approaching and nearer now than it has ever been. Under the terms of the agreement, the rebels will gather in 23 protected zones and 8 camps, where they will disarm in phases after a final accord is reached. Colombian government forces will provide security, and United Nations observers will be present in the camps to oversee the process and mediate disputes. For many years, and on a bipartisan basis, the United States has supported Colombia in its efforts to strengthen its democracy and safeguard the security of its people. That friendship will continue as Colombia's leaders strive to complete the peace process and take steps to recover from the many years of division and conflict. To this end, the United States will work closely with Colombia to ensure that commitments made during negotiations yield tangible benefits for the country's citizens. In February, President Obama announced Paz Colombia, a new strategic framework for its bilateral engagement. As part of that plan, the United States, along with Norway, is leading a global demining initiative for Colombia. The United States congratulates all Colombians as they take the final steps towards a just and lasting peace.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And we're ending our show on a lighter note with a musical featuring Tanga Pasi. Reporter Ntungamele Komo reports. Tanga Pasi is a new Afro music group of 5 men and 1 woman formed in 2009. Their debut album Tolo Ntolo came about in 2013. 3 years later, the album remains a favorite for many Zimbabweans both at home and abroad. Founder Sinini Ngwenya from Plumtree and now based in Germany explains their name choice.
Tanga Pasi means to start all over again, and Tanga Pasi, as we look at it, most of the things start from down going up. Even as a child, you grow up as a little one, then you grow up to be big, the trees, everything. So we thought it was a good name. Starting from the ground also means starting doing it all over again. Tolo means a long, long time ago. Hango Ichigegwe na Weta Tebedu, when our fathers ruled over this land. And that's in Chikalanga. And he's saying life was much, much better under the King Lobengula. They say we remember this. This is an old song, traditional song that has been sang for years and years. And we took the words and changed and put our own music into it. And it worked out very well. And it is most people's favorite. So we decided to make this the title track of the album.
Then there is Isala Kuchelwa, which means the naughty one who won't listen.
Isala Kuchelwa, Sibona Momo, Kanti Hyongandle, Usafeleche. Isala Kuchelwa, Sibona Momo, Wena Hyongandle, Usafeleche. Awali.
Other tracks on this album include Africa, Tate Motilise, Ufuna Mo, Malia Lia, and, of course, Ekaya, which is a bit personal for me. Other band members are Pamela Ngwenya, who is Sinini's wife, Fatsani Mendulo, Mandlenko Simpofu, Tangisani Ndebele, and Sidingani Ngwenya. Despite members being scattered all over the world, Tanga Pasi are working on their second album, which Ngwenya says should be out early next year. And given the high bar they set for themselves with their first album, Tanga Pasi sure have their work cut out for them on any coming albums, or so it seems. And with Njelimana, I sign out. My name is Ntungamele Nkomo for Studio 7 in Washington. Thanks very much, Ntukwamele Nkomo. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.